Well, good morning, everyone. Trust God will bless us as we consider his word together this morning. The passage this morning is John's Gospel, chapter 1. We're going to look at the first five verses of the chapter. So we're focusing on a two-part teaching session on the person of Christ. So this Sunday, the subject is Jesus, eternal God. Next week, the subject will be Jesus, fully man. So let's read the passage through together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Amen. May God bless his word. What an amazing introduction to John's Gospel. John takes us right to the very heart of the Christian faith in these five opening verses. He introduces us to the person of Christ. This is who Jesus Christ is. I don't know who you think Jesus is as you sit in your seat today. John is going to introduce us to the person of Christ. J.C. Ryle, who's always worth reading, he lived in the late 1800s. He was the first bishop of Liverpool. He has a series of notes on the Gospels, and he comments on this very passage of Scripture. He says, "These five verses contain a statement of matchless sublimity concerning the divine nature of our Lord Jesus Christ." He goes on to say, "I cannot close these notes on the opening verses of St. John's Gospel without expressing my deep sense of the utter inability of any human commentator to enter fully into the vast and sublime truths which the passage contains." He says, "There is something here which nothing but the light of eternity will ever fully reveal. This is truth which is absolutely fundamental to the Christian faith. You must understand who Jesus Christ is. Because if you get that truth wrong, if you miss the glorious truth of who Jesus really is, then the Jesus you believe in, if he's not the Jesus Christ of John chapter 1 verses 1 to 5, he cannot save you. You miss everything. My salvation rests on the person of Jesus Christ." This is why John wrote his gospel. He tells us at the end, in chapter 20, he says this, "But these things are written so that you may believe, so that you may believe that Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name." You know, John begins with this wonderful truth so that you can then read the Gospel of John. You can read the words that Jesus spoke. You can read about the things that Jesus did, and you can understand their significance because of who he is. You can appreciate that these are the words of God. These are the things of God, because he is God. John introduces the Lord Jesus as the Word. He uses this title three times over in verse 1, the Word. Now, it's evident from the chapter that this is a title of the Lord Jesus. In verse 14, John says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Obviously referring to Jesus. John says, "We have seen his glory." John uses this title elsewhere in his writings. In the book of Revelation, when he's describing a future day, when the Lord Jesus will ride out of heaven with his armies, the armies of heaven following him, a day when he will return to this earth, when he will rule the nations with a rod of iron. John says, "In righteousness he judges and makes war, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God." The Word of God. You know, our thoughts are expressed and communicated by word. Although sometimes our words are inadequate, we cannot express ourselves as we would wish to. Quite often that happens to me when my wife asks me if she looks good in something. And I think she looks good, and I will say yes. But it's not enough. And sometimes she will tell me what I ought to express. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. That is, God is perfectly expressed through the person of Jesus. God has fully revealed himself. God has communicated. He has made himself known in the person of Jesus Christ. F.B. Meyer puts it this way. He says, "As words utter thought, so does Christ utter God." You know, so to look at Christ, you see God. When you meet with Jesus Christ, you meet with God. When you hear Jesus Christ, you hear God. John goes on to say in verse 18 of this chapter, he says, "No one has ever seen God." Then listen to how he describes the Lord Jesus. He says, "The only God who is at the Father's side." That's how he describes Jesus. "He has made him known," or "he has declared him." He is the Word. God has fully and finally revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. Now let me give you just one other scripture that picks up on this same theme. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. The writer to the Hebrews says this. He says, "Long ago, and at many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets." So you can read the Old Testament prophets. You can read Isaiah. You can read Jeremiah. You can read Hosea. You can read Jonah that we've been looking at on Sunday nights. And you will hear this expression again and again. "The word of the Lord came to me." But, says the writer to the Hebrews, "in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son," by his Son. Not a prophet, not a spokesman or a spokesperson, but by his Son. The Son has the same nature as the Father because he is God. Hebrews 1 verse 3 says that he is the radiance of the glory of God. He is the exact imprint of his nature. That is, Jesus Christ is the exact representation of God's essential being because he possesses the same essential being. Now, this is what John brings before us in these verses. And in these verses, I want to look at five statements that John makes and learn five things about the person of Christ. Five statements, and they're up on the screen. Statement number one in verse one. In the beginning was the Word. What do we learn from this statement about the person of Christ? We learn that Jesus Christ is eternal in his being. He is eternal. You know, when you read these verses, the language, it appears very simple. You know, there are no big words. There are no complicated words in these five verses. But yet the truth expressed, it's so profound. It's beyond my comprehension. But every word, as simple as it is, matters. And every tense is important in these five verses. John says, in the beginning. You know, that's the same phrase with which the Word of God begins in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It takes us back to creation, to the beginning of time, the beginning of matter as we understand it. In fact, it takes us before that. John says, in the beginning was the Word. That little word, was, so important. The tenses are important. That word was, the expression was, it's in the imperfect tense. That means continuation. In the beginning, the Word, Jesus Christ, was. He was existing. He was before creation. He was before time. He was not made like creation. He did not become. He was. He was existing. He had no beginning. Colossians 1 says he is before all things. And so there never was a time when he was not. He has always been. He is eternal in his being, without beginning, without end. Jesus Christ is eternal. Statement number two, still in verse one. And the Word was with God. The Word was with God. What does this tell us about the person of Christ? It tells us this. He is a distinct person within the Godhead. These are deep truths. You know, this is touching on the truth of the Trinity. That God is three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Each person is fully God. And yet there is one God. There is diversity within the Godhead, but yet there is unity. Now, John says, before creation, before anything was made, the Word Jesus Christ, God the Son, was with God, God the Father. A distinct person within the Godhead. John is here talking about that union, that relationship that the Son had with the Father before creation. Now, there's another little technical detail here that's important. And it's to do with the word with. The Word was with God. Now, that's significant because in Greek, it's the preposition pros, which means towards something, movement towards something. You know, if I prostrate myself on the ground here, I move towards the ground. The Word was with God. This is describing the intimate fellowship, the union that the Son had with the Father and the Father had with the Son. The Son was towards the Father. The Father was towards the Son. It's almost, you know, face to face with each other. Two distinct persons within the Godhead. You see, that's why when you come to John chapter 17, when you come to that wonderful prayer of the Lord Jesus, and he prayed that prayer before, the night before he was crucified. And he said in that prayer, as he prayed to his Father, he said, "Glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed." He was with God. He was with God. A distinct person within the Godhead. That's why you can read in the Psalms. You know, David writes in the Psalms and he allows us to eavesdrop into conversations between persons within the Godhead. You know, Psalm 110, "The Lord says to my lords, sit at my right hand." The Word was with God. Jesus Christ is a distinct person within the Godhead. Now, statement number 3, and we're still only in verse 1. In clear, unambiguous terms, John states, "And the Word was God." The Word was God. In unmistakable terms, this is the truth of the deity of Jesus Christ. He is God. He is God. He's not just a man, not just a good man, not just an angel. He is God. He is God. This is who Jesus Christ is, the eternal God. You know, that's why if you miss this truth, then you miss everything about the Christian faith. It hangs on this, who the person of Christ is. It is absolutely fundamental truth. Now, John wrote his gospel many years after the other gospels were written, after Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John wrote his gospel much later. And by the time John wrote his gospel, there was a lot of heresy. There was a lot of false teaching about the person of Christ. And it's the same today. Jehovah Witnesses will take this verse and they will twist it to say that the Word was a God. They will say that there is no definite article and that the Word is a God. They are implying that the Word is simply a heavenly being, that he is not fully God, that he is merely a created being. They believe that Jesus was an angel. Now, that's completely inconsistent with the Greek grammar. And it's well known to be, in fact, the Jehovah Witnesses apparently have conceded that. But what's more, it completely ignores the context of these 5 verses. I don't need to go to the Greek grammar from this passage to explain to you who Jesus Christ is. And that brings me to my next statement, statement number 4, which is in verse 3. All things were made through him, Jesus Christ. All things were made through him. This verse teaches us that he is the agent of creation. He is the creator of all things. All things were made through him. Angels. You think of the innumerable host of angels that cannot be counted. Every single one of them created by him. The universe. Every star and every planet was fashioned by your hand, as we've just sung. The sun, the moon, the earth, the seas, the animals, man, all things. And John says, and without him was not anything made that was made. He is outside of creation. Creation was made. All things were made. They had a beginning. They came into being. He was. He was existing. He is the agent of creation, and therefore he must be and is God. Verse 4 brings me to my final statement, statement number 5. John says, in him was life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. He is the source of all life. You know, this is more than just natural life. You know, verse 3 has already established that he is the source of natural life. All things were made through him. This is spiritual life. In him was life. This is life which gives light. This is life which is the light of men. This is the purpose for which you were created. That you might have spiritual life. That you might be made alive unto God through Jesus Christ. That you might be born of the Spirit. That you might be made a new creature in Jesus Christ. John read from Colossians 1, you know, to deliver us from the domain of darkness, to deliver us from the power of Satan, from the power of sin, and bring us into the light through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, you know, referring to his followers as sheep, he said, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they will never perish. They will never perish. You know, I've had people tell me, you know, when you tell people that you're a Christian, or they know that you're a Christian, you know, and you have different appetites and you do different things, you know, sometimes they'll say to you, oh, get a life, you know, get a life. That's exactly what you get through Jesus Christ. You get life. You get life, spiritual life. And you have never truly lived until you have that life. Until you receive eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ, you have never truly lived. Verse 5 says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You know, this is light that cannot be extinguished. You know, Satan, the power of darkness, despite his best efforts, he could not overcome the light. You know how he tried from the moment Jesus was born, you know, and you think of Herod and the slaughter of all those children. You think of attempts throughout the life of Jesus. And even as Jesus faced the cross, he said, this is your hour and the power of darkness. And even in the darkness of the tomb, that light could not be extinguished. It could not be overcome. This is the Word. This is Jesus Christ. This is who he is. The eternal God. God the Son. The Creator. The Source. The Prince of Life. The greatness of the person of Christ. And now you go down to verse 14 and you read this. And the Word became flesh. The greatness of Christ, who he is, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Isn't that amazing? When you think of who he is. And he came into this world and he lived here. God became man. And when he became man, he didn't cease to be God, but he became man. Why? Hebrews 9 verse 26 says this, he appeared, the Word became flesh, he appeared to put away sin. That's why he came, to put away sin. How? Hebrews 9 says he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. The Word. That on the cross God made him to be sin, who knew no sin. Because he himself is God. He is without sin. That's why it rests on who he is. That's why only Jesus could put away sin through the sacrifice of himself. So that we might become the righteousness of God. You know, a hymn was quoted this morning. And when I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art. The Word. Do you know Jesus Christ this morning? Do you know him? The Word. He died to save you. The Word became flesh to deal with our sin. He died to save you. He died to give you life. And this is why John wrote these words, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life in his name. Do you have it? Do you have that life? And if you have that life, are you enjoying it? Are you living out that life? Trust him. Give your life to Jesus Christ this morning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. May God bless his Word. Shall we pray? Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for the glorious person of Jesus Christ. We thank you that he is the Word. We thank you that he is God. Father, we think of these great truths and we just pray that your Holy Spirit would search each heart bowed before you this morning. Father, that you would cause us to bow in worship, that you would cause those who do not know him to come, surrender their life and put their faith and trust in him. Father, we just ask for your blessing as we give you thanks now in Jesus' name. Amen.